This year looks very different for all of us, and we're always looking for new ways to create memories, especially for those of you with children at home. And with the holidays coming up, I'm sure that you have a lot of kids on your list, just like me, even if it's just family members, nieces, nephews, your friends' kids. You guys, KiwiCo is such a cool, unique way to make new memories. KiwiCo has hands-on science and art projects that you can actually give a gift that sparks curiosity and learning all year round. KiwiCo designs hands-on projects and experiences that spark wonder and discovery. When a robot walks, a rocket launches, and a heart beats into a stethoscope, these are magical moments that inspire a lifetime of curiosity and learning. I know that one of the arts and crafts projects that I am so excited about, I'm actually saving it because I have some kids coming for the holidays. It is the geometric candle wax dyeing and candle molding set. You guys, I've been wanting to make candles, let alone make them with a bunch of my kids' friends, nieces, and nephews. So I cannot wait to put this project together. And then you have really cute candles when you're done. So with KiwiCo, they won't believe what they can build and accomplish. When they're finished, you can watch their confidence get as big as their smiles, and you can start a new holiday tradition with KiwiCo. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. And you guys, especially with homeschooling this year, and who knows how much longer, these are different things that we can do together as a family in order for them to learn and grow in the way that you want, in a fun way at home. So get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code Lori at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code Lori.
You don't want anyone in your company that's overly stressed about, you know, getting their money back right away, because that's going to put a lot of stress on you as a business owner. And it might make you make decisions that you might not make if you have someone constantly hounding you about it. And also for the person, I'm like, if you're not in a position to invest comfortably, you just shouldn't do it.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited about our next guest because this girl like completely blew my mind and rocked my world. The way that she thinks and this vision and this company that she has created. And I'm so excited to introduce you to Jade Nicole. She started out as a model, actress, and as a Playboy model. And she quickly found that throughout her journey of going to different restaurants and nightclubs that this career had taken her to, for all of these different events and for all of these different parties, she quickly found that she was very, very business savvy. So when she started to get interested in investing in different companies or nightclubs and restaurants, she wasn't completely taken serious. So when that place came or that point came when she realized that maybe her ideas were not being taken as serious as she would like, she completely decided to start her own company. And I'm so incredibly excited because what she started is such an awesome vision. You guys, she is one of the owners and founders of a restaurant called Sugar Taco, and it is completely women owned. And she was such a visionary behind getting all of these women together. And I'm telling you that the way this girl thinks is about to rock your world. It completely changed the way that I thought. It gave me so many different ideas for light pink. So I can't wait to hear what you think. Let's get started. Jade, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So we got intro'd by a friend, and I immediately went and looked at everything that you are doing along with your business partners. And I'm super excited because I can only imagine all of the excitement and the challenges and all of the crazy things that you had to learn and also did not expect to learn in order to do what you're doing. But I really want you to be able to give kind of a rundown on what it is that you have started. And then I'll ask you a little bit about how that came about.
Of course. So I've been in hospitality for about 10 years now. Started off building and operating nightclubs and then kind of segued into restaurants. Our current project that has been my most favorite project is our restaurant called Sugar Taco on Melrose here in Los Angeles. And we're working on our second location for this brand right now, which has been really, really exciting. So that's kind of what's taking 100% of my focus right now.
Oh my God, I bet. Okay, so what made the transition from... First, I actually want to know, what got you into... Like, how did you fall into... operating, and did you say owning nightclubs?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me how that even began.
Sure. So a long, long time ago, I was a model. I started modeling when I was about 15 years old. I moved to LA. I became a Playmate and then Playmate of the Year. And then I moved from Canada, where I'm originally from, down to Los Angeles.
Okay. And what was that like? So I've been to Canada a lot and I'm from a place similar to Canada, in the Midwest. So I'm wondering, like, were you completely like a deer in headlights, or what was that transition? Did it feel like, I was going to say, did it feel like moving to another country, but that's what you did.
It was, and it definitely felt like a different universe. The town that I grew up in, had like two stoplights. Like, we didn't have a mall.
Where was it in Canada?
It's called Port Perry in Ontario.
Okay.
So I was born in a place called Scarborough near Toronto, which is a very, very different vibe.
Yep.
But when I was about, 7, 8, 9, I moved up to this town, and it's basically farm country. Like, my mom still lives there. She is a farmer.
That's amazing.
So, definitely when I first started, working in LA, I hated it here. It was too crazy for me.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
It was very overwhelming. I was living at the Playboy Mansion, and I remember going to my modeling agency downtown, and then I went to go leave and I didn't know how to get home, and I tried to call a taxi and I couldn't. It was just a whole mess. I ended up like crying on the side of the street, and the Playboy Mansion sent a security guard to come pick me up. I was such a hot mess. I was very lost and terrified. All the cars and traffic and people were screaming at me because I was in a little outfit from my modeling meeting.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You're like, please help me.
It was a huge adjustment for sure. And then, part of being a Playmate, what you do is you travel all over from city to city, going to nightclubs and restaurants, and you meet the owners, and you get all these like tours of, hotels. And before that, I had been in school for hotel management. I've always been really interested, in the hospitality in general. And I just found myself in these venues being like, oh, it would be so much better if you moved this here, or you did this, or you did this.
Oh my God,
and
yeah.
And the owners would be like, who is this girl telling me how to do my job? But then also they'd kind of be like, oh, you're right. That makes sense. And so I kind of just fell into that. And more and more in Los Angeles, I would go to every new nightclub opening, and I just kind of embedded myself in the culture here, and people started like asking my opinion on things when they were opening new spots. And then one of those owners decided to open a new place, and they actually asked me to introduce them to my boyfriend at the time for investment.
Mm.
And I was kind of like, well, why aren't you asking me to invest?
Yeah.
You just thought to go through me to him. At the time, I, had just won Playmate of the Year. I had a ton of money saved up. Like, I was ready, but it didn't dawn on them that like a woman would either have the money or be interested or have the knowledge to, be in this industry. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up investing. That was my first one. It was a nightclub in Hollywood called AV. It was a lot of fun. It was my first investment. So I learned a lot of information at that one because it was me and about 15 men.
Oh my God.
Who had all invested before and had a lot more experience than I did in this arena. Mm-hmm. And I was the second to majority investor, invested $250,000. Mm-hmm. It was very scary. It was all my money. I did not think to like keep any. I was like, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go all in. I was only 24. So I really felt like I needed to like prove myself, especially since I was the only woman and I was kind of had to force my way in.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a learning experience. It was very frustrating because I felt like everything that I was saying or doing was either not being taken seriously, or I would come up with an idea that would get rejected. And then a week later, one of the other guys would say exactly the same thing I said, and it would be a brilliant idea that everyone would be super excited about.
So how did you navigate that? Like it's so funny. I'm literally, cause I'm starting an alcohol company right now. Like I'm feeling so much of this. So I'm definitely, like, how did you navigate and get your voice heard, or did that not end up happening in that situation where you like just trying to figure it all out in this particular instance?
Yeah, honestly, in that location, it was hard. I lashed out several times and felt like I needed to like prove myself as being alpha. And I, you know, tried to get people fired, and I, you know, threw tantrums. It was definitely a learning experience there because I wasn't used to, you know, people like all these men were talking down to me like I was dumb, and I knew that I was smarter than most of them. And it was very frustrating. And at the time I didn't know how to handle that. Over the process, you know, I really just took to like, okay, I'm going to prove myself. So I just started hustling. I was in there every single day. I was working, you know, three times as hard as every other person that was operating that venue. I brought in clients. I showed up to host clients. I became, you know, our number one seller of everything in the venue. And it kind of just, you know, it started getting better, but it definitely wasn't easy. It took several venues, honestly, before I really found footing and started to get, you know, a little bit more respect in the industry. It's difficult. And part of the reason why I'm doing Sugar Taco now, and, you know, I left my last group that we were doing restaurants together, was because it was all men and I was the only woman. And I really felt like this is not an environment that's conducive to creativity and like what I want to be doing and how I want to be feeling when I'm coming to work. And that's when I decided to leave. And I called up my best friend, Brittany, and I was like, I want to open this restaurant. You want to do it with me? And she was like, yeah.
Totally different experience, right? Like completely different experience.
Basically, both of us quit our job that we were doing. And we started down this pathway of building, you know, a new, better way to do business. And that's what Sugar Taco is for us.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to dive into this. Okay. So I want to know, looking back, right? Like connecting the dots backwards, what is the, like, what are the main takeaways that you really see have made you like a total, you know, just feel like you know so much, made you so wise, made you a ninja now in what you're doing. So what were some of the big takeaways that obviously were super painful in the moment, but looking back, you're like, oh, thank God for that.
So my tips are Google everything. Don't be afraid. Like, honestly, there were so many things that I didn't understand. And I was like, instead of not knowing this, I'm just going to figure it out. And I would literally Google everything from like at the beginning, like certain business terms I didn't understand, certain contracts I didn't understand, even like building, you know, income projections and business plans and portfolios. Like I didn't know how to do that. So I just had to like learn from other people. And I asked friends that I knew that were already doing it to send me theirs and just absorb, you know, as much as you can. Like, don't be afraid to not know something. Like, you can teach yourself just about anything and ask people who know more than you. The biggest thing that I feel like I've improved upon and has really helped me get to the level that I'm at now is patience, for one, learning that, you know, if somebody is treating you poorly or, you know, lashing out, that it's a reflection on them and their insecurities and not on you. So now I kind of just calmly accept any information and find a way that actually gets me my way instead of just getting upset that someone's not giving me my way. I'm calm and I'm like, okay, well, how can we fix this? How can we move forward? And as an operator, it's allowed me to manage much better and allowed us to, you know, function as a company so much smoother than if someone lashes out, me lashing out, thinking like I have to project dominance. I'm like, no, I'm a woman. Let's do this different. I have no ego in this. We're just going to find the best way to move forward. And it's been a total game changer for, you know, my attitude and the company and how we function. And it's made everything a lot easier.
I love that you just shared that because I always think about that. Like, you're never going to get to the like highest, best solution from a place that feels crazy or enraged or pissed off. So it's like, at least bring yourself back to neutral so that you can like function.
You're going to go through those stages 1000%. But now, like, every so often I'll have, you know, someone who's interested in investing or a landlord or some man be like, talk down to me as though I don't know what I'm doing, or call me like an entrepreneur or something, even though I've been doing this for 10 years, and try to give me advice. And instead of me being like, yeah, I got this, thanks, I'm just like, wow, thank you so much for those tips. I'll take those into consideration. And it honestly just makes my life so much easier. It's amazing. And it takes practice. At first you're like, you want to strangle some people and you have to be like, wow, thanks. But it's a skill that you perfect. And it honestly has allowed me to get a lot further.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm hearing like a through line of you are like, obviously massively, intelligent, like EQ wise and IQ wise, but I think they're both so important. And sometimes we can go into thinking that we need to know all about, you know, the business and all of the verbiage and all of the things, which is so important. But also I think, emotional intelligence and knowing when to, exactly like you just said, like knowing when to smile and not let your ego get in the way. Like, what does this prove anyway? Are you going to be burning a bridge? Like all of those things are so vital. So tell me about the importance of that, like in networking, in relationship building, and how the relationships that you've built and how you've shown up in the past have really come to fruition of what you're doing now.
Well, the most important thing is that, you know, when we took on Sugar Taco, at first I had, you know, these two male investors who had said, you know, if you ever decide to do something on your own, let me know and I'll fully fund it. And so when I was talking to my partner, I was like, oh, I already have it funded. It's super easy. And I woke up at like 3 a.m. one morning and was like, what am I doing? I'm just turning this company into the company I just left, where I'm like allowing men into the company and it's just going to be the same vibe. And so I called and I was like, listen, I want to try to get all women partners. This is our goal. And so we started on this long, you know, line. Cause I'm like, hey, this is my company now. So I get to choose who I work with. I'm not forced to work with people that, you know, I might not agree with or get along with. And so we started down this pathway of, you know, getting all women partners and all women investors. And that's really helped because now I don't have to do that as often because I don't have all these, you know, investors that might not align with our belief system and might not, you know, mesh well. And I always say, you know, moving into our second location and taking on some new investors, I was very careful because the ecosystem that we've built within Sugar Taco with our partners and our investors and even our staff is just so peaceful and it's so well balanced and everyone that's there is excited to be there. Everyone is passionate about the project. You know, everyone's coming in, they're supporting, they're posting, they actually love the restaurant, they eat the food, you know, and so it's just such a positive environment to be in. And, you know, when we hold meetings, sometimes we hold them at the beach in bikinis. Sometimes we go for cocktails at a restaurant. Like, we're not forced to do business in, you know, a specific way where people are like, oh, your meetings need to be in boardrooms and you should be wearing suits. And, oh, this is so unprofessional. I'm like, says who?
Exactly.
Like we're getting all the same work done. We're just doing it in an environment that is, you know, more fun.
Yeah, totally.
And why not? Like we're working all the time. We may as well be doing something that we enjoy and be happy about it than being in a stuffy, you know, office wearing uncomfortable clothes to try and prove something. Like we don't feel like we have to prove anything to anyone.
Yes. Okay, so life update. Now that I am living in the desert, hydration is more important than ever. I actually notice a physical and mental difference when I am not hydrated. Also, flu season is right around the corner, and with winter months approaching, it's more important than ever to have a strong immune system. So you guys, this is why I'm having Liquid IV every single day. And in order for me to drink more water, I need it to actually taste good. And I also like to know that I'm doing something really good for my body. So not only is water great, but adding something that helps you hydrate even more is so important. You guys, I love having Liquid IV. I'm actually using it in the morning and I'm using it at night. So right now, Liquid IV is like my favorite way to get a bunch of my vitamins. Vitamin C is well known to help protect your body and support good health. And they have vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and well immune, all in convenient single serving packets. Vitamin D facilitates immune system function and improves your daily defense. Zinc is the second most abundant trace mineral in your body, and it supports your immune cell and health function. So with every purchase of Liquid IV, they donate a serving of Liquid IV to someone in need. And I literally love that about this company. Liquid IV's new hydration multiplier plus immune support is available at Walmart, or you can order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code HAPPY at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code HAPPY at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code HAPPY. I've had a lot of you listeners message me about how this podcast is really helping with their mental health and other podcasts or books to stay on track, but that you might need a little bit more. You might need somebody to talk to in person. And whenever I've mentioned therapy, a lot of people have said that maybe it's too expensive or they're not quite ready for it. But let's really talk for a second about how much money we spend on our daily coffees, that at-home cute sweatsuit that we're putting on. But with Talkspace, you can actually take care of your mental health without dipping into your savings account. With Talkspace, you can sign up online or download the app and start therapy that same day with a licensed therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy. Depending on the plan you choose, you can message and schedule live video sessions with your therapist, and you'll pay the same amount every single month, so it's in the budget. It's affordable. It's a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. Instead of waiting for an appointment, you can send unlimited text messages to your therapist 24/7, and they'll engage with you daily 5 days a week. Talking to my friends is so different from talking to a licensed therapist who has the expertise and knowledge to give me practical guidance. Talkspace gives us the support we need at an affordable price. As a listener of this podcast, you get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use code Lori to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's Lori at Talkspace.com. So I really want to know, because this is totally what I'm doing with my business as well. So it is like so much fun talking to you right now to hear how well it's working for all of you. So when I was going to raise money, I was like, why would I? Same thing, right? I'm like, oh, I know this person and this person. This would be great. It's easy. It's done. And I'm like, wait a minute. I really want to work with women and who like, and to all have the opportunity together to like have so much fun and collaborate and do, you know, the same idea. Like, let's do this fun. Like, let's do this in a way with people that you can't wait to have that meeting with on the beach, or you can't wait to go for cocktails to discuss big ideas or find solutions to problems, whatever that looks like. So how did you create that? You said, you know, you really, you were concerned about just bringing new people in and making sure it fit with the ecosystem. Are there guidelines or questions, or what's the way that you make sure that people fall into alignment with what you are looking for?
Sure. So everyone that we asked to invest, especially in our first location, there were people we knew. So nobody really was a stranger. Everyone was either a close friend or, you know, an acquaintance we had known for a long time. And we meet with them and we talk about the project, and you really get a read for someone's energy, whether, you know, based on the questions that they ask and, you know, how excited they are, whether that they're going to be a good fit or not. And, you know, we've met with a couple of people that have been interested in investing, and I've been like, no, mm-hmm. this isn't going to work out, both male and female, because at the beginning we were, you know, meeting with a couple men, but we ended up declining all but one. We literally have one male investor in our company, and I've known him for 10 years. So it's really important that, you know, either I know, and through the second location, of course, now we're expanding a little bit. So now all the people are either I know them, or one of our current investors know mm-hmm. them, or one of our good friends know them. Someone intros them to us. So they kind of have someone vouch for them.
Yeah. So what's the questions that you ask? Like, are you, so you were, you're like so crazy intuitive. I can already tell that. But for people who like don't have that honed in yet, or had these experiences that you can, you know, you can just walk into a room now, ask some questions and be really clear on, this is going to be, this person might cause this later, or this energetically is not working, or maybe they're going to really want to have a say in different things and that's not what we're doing, or whatever that looks like. So what are some of the questions that you ask, or some of the answers that you get back that you're like, oh, they're going to want to know X or do X, and that's not what we're doing. Like, what are some of the signs for you?
You know, I try to listen, and I try to actually listen to the questions they ask me as opposed to asking them questions.
Okay.
With our company, we're asking people for money. So they usually will have the most amount of questions, like, when do we get our money back? How are we paid back? What's the interest? What's the return? So I like to more listen to questions that they ask me. I rarely, and I just listen to them. Sometimes I'll ask them for some background if I'm not too close with them. But typically, if anyone is overly concerned about their money being returned,
yep.
If they're like, when do we get our money back? And totally. I explain how it works. And if they're like, okay, but is there a guaranteed amount every month, every week? I try to avoid those, because, you know, we're doing really, really well. Our investors are getting paid back. Everybody is really happy. But you don't want anyone in your company that's overly stressed about, you know, getting their money back right away, because that's going to put a lot of stress on you as a business owner. And it might make you make decisions that you might not make if you have someone constantly hounding you about it. And also for the person, I'm like, if you're not in a position to invest comfortably, you just shouldn't do it. And I tell everyone that as well. Like, I have people that are so interested in investing that are like, oh, I'm going to take a loan because I want in the company. And I'm like, don't do that.
Yep, totally.
Don't ever take a loan to invest. It's a terrible, terrible plan. And I won't even accept investments that way, because it's just not going to be good for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I love that when people ask about the vision of the company, I love when people are, you know, have tried the food before and are super excited and, you know, or offer ideas. I love it when someone's like, oh my God, it would be so cool to do something like this, because I operate a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically, I value every single one of our investors' opinions. I don't ever think that I am the be-all, know-all. I think that, you know, 10 heads are better than one. And I love people to give input and ideas, because if their idea doesn't work, sometimes it gives me an idea of something else that I can do that will be awesome. Mm-hmm. And so I love it when people, you know, have opinions to an extent. Of course, if anyone ever started telling me like, oh, well, you did do this and I think that's wrong and you should do it this way, that would be a red flag for sure. Mm-hmm. But I do love when people seem super passionate about it and, you know, want to be involved in the process.
Oh, I love that. So were you really strategic in who you brought in? I know that you said that it was kind of like people that you knew and that you trusted and were excited. Were you strategic in the fact of like, okay, this person brings an audience, this person brings knowledge, this person brings X, or did it kind of all work out that way?
It was a combination of both. So I'm very lucky that, you know, a lot of friends that I've built since I've been in LA are in a position to assist, whether, you know, they have huge followings or, you know, they have a radio show or a TV show or, you know, ways of marketing and promoting. We definitely did try to, you know, get a little bit from everywhere. So we have, you know, some investors who have massive followings, but they're mostly men. And then we have other investors that have really big followings, but they have like a mommy blog and have mostly, you know, young families that follow them. And we have another one that's like a master yoga teacher, and she kind of has a whole different audience that she, you know, goes to. And so we definitely tried to make it as well-rounded as we could. And some people are like, oh, well, you know, all your investors should be vegan. That's crazy. And like one thing that I have definitely learned is that you can't be that picky when you're asking people for money, yes, especially for a new company. We were already being the pickiest of anyone I know. We're like, okay, we're going for women. We're going for women we know. We're going for women that are passionate and excited and like, you know, love either animals or are vegan or love the planet or like, you know, some aspect of it. And so you can only be, you know, so picky. And I think that, you know, we took a year to fund the first restaurant because we were being super, super picky. And a lot of our, almost all actually of our investors in the first location were first time investors. They had never been asked to invest in a project before. They had never invested in any type of business. And so it was a process of kind of like, you know, teaching people also, which I like love to do because nobody taught me my first time. They were like, here's 500 pages of paperwork and do X, Y, Z. And I had to kind of just like pretend I knew what I was doing and do my best. So now when we approach these women, I'm like, listen, I will walk you through from A to Z. I will explain it to you. There is like no stupid questions. Like I want to be the person to teach you all of this. So you don't have to feel like embarrassed or inadequate in another situation where someone might be like trying to make you feel that way. Like I'll teach you everything. And I love doing that, but it definitely took some extra time. So we were very fortunate to have that time and to build up such an awesome crew. Second location is much different. We went very quick. We did the full funding in about a month. And a lot of repeat investors from our first location, as well. And we got in a lot of, you know, veteran investor women as well, which was really cool.
Oh, that's so cool. And congratulations on all of that. And I love that you also love to teach. It's kind of when I'm talking to people, cause I have a lot of new investors in my company as well. When I'm talking to them, I'm like, look, this is either going to be the best education you've ever had in your life on this because it is. And I think so much of that is coming from me feeling the way that you had felt in rooms where I was like, wow, I just feel in over my head, but I'm going to keep showing up and keep asking these questions and like giving myself full freedom to be like, oh, I don't understand what that word means. Otherwise it's so easy. And I totally want to hear your thoughts on this, but it would be so easy to just sit there and nod your head and act like you know what they're talking about, but leave not knowing anything. And you're like, you're having these moments of like, you know, that most people don't get of getting to learn and having these conversations. And you have to speak up and let people know that you don't know, no matter what they think of you. But I found most people like want to teach you.
Yeah, I think that, so in my experience, if it's a woman, if it's someone I'm comfortable with and I know, I will ask questions on the spot 100%. And I encourage people that are within my company to do the same because I come from a place of no judgment and I come from a place like I know where you're at. But if I'm ever in a room with men that think that they know better or they, you know, I tend to take notes and I'll like Google later, because also, you know, I was in a meeting recently where someone used a slang term for something, and I had never heard it before. And he was asking a question. So I had no choice but to be like, I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I could tell that he was doing it specifically to try to act superior, like he knew better. Like I felt like he was a little intimidated. And in those cases, you just got to own it. You can be like, I'm sorry, I've never heard that term before. And just kind of like go with it instead of trying to like muddle your way through, because that's when you can definitely embarrass yourself. Because if I tried to answer a question that I didn't understand, you know, there are sometimes you can kind of make it through, but on certain ones like that, you just gonna be like, I'm sorry, I don't understand your slang.
Your slang. I'm sorry. Your slang is not translating for me right now.
Like, cool. Okay, I've never heard it used that way before, but to answer your question.
Oh God. Okay. So tell me about what you tell first-time investors. Like when someone's like, I'm really interested and they're a fit. What are some of the things that you share with them about investing, why it's a really like cool opportunity?
Yeah. Well, I tend to kind of teach people from top to bottom. Like literally I'm like, you write a check, you'll get these documents, you sign them, this is the timeline we have for the restaurant. Like I'll walk through the, projected income statements with them, but mostly it's about a long-term income source and a passive income source. When you're investing in another company, especially one like this, it's something where, you're going to still have your day job, but you're going to learn a lot. You're going to start to get money. And then the next location opens up and they invest more. And now you're like, oh, wow, this is actually a pretty decent money. And as it grows, third location, fourth location, it becomes a point where you're like, okay, now I have all this money coming in every month. Now you have an option of, reinvesting that money into yourself, into your business, back into other businesses and start making really cool financial decisions that you might not have been able to make before. So it's kind of like building blocks. You got to start small and start comfortable. And as you grow and your investment grows, you keep reinvesting. And I help all the girls with that as well. Not all of them need the help, but anyone that wants it, I'm like, I'm here to assist you in learning what to do. And when not to overextend yourself as well, that's super important, especially, now with everything that's going on in the world, you don't want to, overinvest and then be in a position where you have to pull investments and lose money. We kind of go across like all boards. And like I said, some girls don't have any questions. They've invested before, they're ready to go. And other ones will be like, okay, so I give you money? Like, yes. So it kind of just depends on the level.
They're like, do I get the free food or not with this? So,
everyone's like, but do I get a discount on tacos? And I'm like, yes, you do.
It's like the first question. That's when you know you have good food. It's if they're like, okay, can I get the discount with this? All right, great.
We also have these like tie-dye hoodies that every so often I'll post in. And new investors are like, okay, but can I get a tie-dye hoodie? Because like, I can get them. I'm like, yes, I'll make sure you have a tie-dye hoodie.
It's real, right? Like that would be a real question from me.
It honestly, it's been numerous people have asked that. And our current investors too are like, where is my tie-dye hoodie? I'm like, they're coming.
I promise. Oh my God. I love that. Well, that's like a really it's like a tangible way to show ownership of something they're proud of. It's like, hey, I bought into this. This is so cool.
And I love it when people ask me that because I know like they're proud to be owners and they're proud of the brand and that our brand has a good enough name where people are like ready to wear it on something. Like to have someone else pay money to wear your brand is like an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Especially with like not a clothing line.
It's so cool. Yes. It's like mind blowing. You're like, yes, I will print more clothing for you to wear and buy. Okay. So I want to know, because obviously we're in a crazy time right now and you probably had to pivot pretty hard, I'm guessing. So tell me about when you have your, physical location. Obviously you are doing takeout and now I believe you can also do dine-in, but what were some of the conversations like around the pivot, around like, oh my God, what the hell do we do right now?
Yeah. So when it first happened in LA, it was pretty quick. It was like, oh, we're fine. Just kidding. Everything's closed.
Yep, and totally.
So we were monitoring it very closely. We started, altering our ordering and getting smaller amount and making smaller batches of stuff so that we didn't have a lot of food waste in case we did have to close down. When we got the order, that it was only going to be takeout and everyone was kind of panicking, we fully shut down. We did that mostly because we had no idea what was going on. We didn't know how bad it was going to be. We wanted to keep our staff safe. And we weren't ready to just like shift our operations to a completely different model. So, we closed down for about 2 months. Luckily I am kind of an over-preparer. So we always have enough money to last our rent and utilities, everything for a year. So I was never afraid that we were going to, not be able to reopen. And I kind of just laid back and examined, what was going on, who was staying open, what they were doing, who was busy, what was happening. And then once we kind of got a good feel for it, we opened back up just on weekends for delivery to see, you know, all right, let's see what happens. And we were slammed. We were super busy. Mm. One thing that everyone has to do all the time is eat. Yeah. So we're essentially an essential business, just like a grocery store, providing food to people. And everyone was super happy that we were, you know, back open, because at this point, not a lot of places were open and functioning. And so we did delivery weekends only for about a month and a half until we got the go ahead for dine in. That lasted about 4 days before they shut it back down. Luckily, we have a huge patio on the back. And honestly, most people choose to sit out on our patio anyways. And we were allowed to continue patio dining. So that's when we kind of opened up full. We were open 12 to 9, so slightly reduced hours. We have our online ordering system on our website, so people can, you know, pre-order and just swing by and pick up without even coming into the store if they want. Mm-hmm. And our patio, like I said, it's been super busy, actually, I think because there isn't as many restaurants open.
Yeah.
And we do offer, you know, plant-based food at like a reasonable price. It's been very busy, definitely more takeout and delivery than before. Mm. But it's been going really busy all through July and all through August so far.
So how'd you keep your cool during that time? Because I know there's a lot of people who like lost their shit and did not make good decisions. So how did you like, I know it sounds like, you know, you're like, no, I took 2 months, but what did you, I know that you were kind of looking and seeing what was going on, but how did you internally, because I, trust me, from doing, you know, like 550 interviews on here, I literally, and hearing from so many different people, it's like, the biggest battle is always in our head and in our relationships. And how did you manage all of potentially the fear that was going around? And how did you, you know, keep your cool to make the best decisions and keep positive?
Yeah, well, like I said, we like to be prepared. So because we were prepared in advance to, you know, be in a position where being closed wasn't the end of the world for us, that really, you know, was the main part of it. Cause I know a lot of people, they only keep a month or two worth of rent payments. And then, you know, you're panicking because then you're in a situation where you're not having any income and you don't have the savings. So for us, I wasn't stressed because, I mean, granted, I was stressed. We were in a pandemic. People were dying. It was crazy,
right.
But I never had the fear like, oh no, we're not going to be able to pay rent. I went into, you know, triage mode automatically, called our landlord, tried to work out some deals, applied for all the grants, applied for all the, like everything that we could. And then I kind of just chilled. Mm-hmm. I sat in my house and I did absolutely nothing for like a solid 4 weeks because there's nothing to do. Sometimes the problem is so big, you just have to succumb to it. Mm-hmm. And just, I went into this mode where I was like, you know what, whatever makes me happy, I'm going to do. If I want to eat donuts for breakfast, I'm going to eat donuts for breakfast. If I want to have wine at 11 a.m., I'm going to do it. If I want to binge watch TV and accomplish no tasks all day long, that's what I'm going to do. And I kind of just, you know, let my body tell me like whatever. If I wanted to work out that day, I would work out. If I didn't, I wouldn't. I wasn't pushing anything. And that really helped me kind of stay calm. And you know, in the midst of it, there was really honestly nothing to do. There was nothing to do but wait and see. And so in the interim, I just tried to, you know, keep calm and do everything that we could do. And then the second, you know, we got word like, okay, there's going to be a press conference and more information, I, you know, made my double shot espresso latte and I put on my work pajamas and I busted
a real thing.
I have fancy work pajamas.
Oh, I'm in mine.
They have a collar on them and it makes me feel like I'm working still, but I'm still relaxed.
Yep.
And I just started getting to work and, you know, we started talking to our staff and getting everyone in and training people and getting the restaurant changed. And you kind of can't force yourself, you know, to do something when there's nothing to do. Sometimes you have to just, you know, succumb to it and chill and relax and just do everything you can to keep yourself, you know, healthy and your brain healthy.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about, was there anything for you that has come out of this that you're like, wow, this has been, you know, amongst all of the obvious craziness that has been such a gift, whether it's how you operate business or how you operate in your life, what has been impacted by it?
Honestly, I'm most thankful that our investors are all badasses because not a single one of them texts me stressed out during the pandemic being like, are we okay? Are we going to open? Are we going to close? Like no one put any extra stress on me. Everyone kind of was just there to support. And when it was time to open back up, everyone was posting and promoting and coming in and helping out. And, you know, I think that's really where you shine when you have such an amazing support group and the people that have invested in you and your concept are truly there to support you and not just to have, you know, a line item on their bank statement of making money. And so that was amazing. And also just having the ability to, you know, pivot and be a small company and get creative and just be, you know, able to talk to everyone like, hey, if anyone has any ideas, and, you know, everyone kind of just worked together and we were able to kind of just, you know, work as a group to come up with awesome solutions and implement them immediately. And I think that flexibility and that type of support really has been a game changer.
I love, like, this is such a massive part of my vision. So I always love when worlds collide and I get to talk to somebody who I'm like, oh, this was like so great and so for me at this very moment. So for women who are, because this is a very new conversation still for a lot of women, talking about starting a company with potentially, if they want to do mostly female or all female investors or their friends or whatever that looks like. Because it's not a super, you know, I'm from the Midwest, you're from Canada. Like it's not, it wasn't a huge conversation for me growing up or in my friend groups. So how do we make this a more common conversation for women, knowing that they have options of doing it in a completely different way when maybe you feel like you know nothing?
Honestly, my number one tip is don't give up because honestly, building out the first Sugar Taco, especially during the investment stage, I almost quit like 50 times when, you know, we would get declined by someone that we really wanted to invest or it was taking longer than we had hoped. And I was like, was this the right way to go? It's definitely a lot of work. And even if you're prepared for a lot of work, it's like 10 times more than that. So just know that, you know, whatever your vision is and whatever your passion is and however you see your company, like try your very, very best not to compromise because it will work itself out in the end. And it might be harder and it might take more work, but that's in the short term. In the long term, it's going to save your life. Your company will be how you want it to be. And it will save you a lot of work in the long run. So Google is your best friend. Don't give up. If you have a bad day, like sometimes I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm going to quit. Instead of doing anything, I would just like lock myself in a room and, you know, play music or, you know, binge watch Netflix for an entire day and just kind of reset. And whatever that means for you, you'll wake up the next day and be like, okay, I can do this. And just know that like not every day is going to be a good day and that's okay.
Oh, good. I'm on track.
Trust me.
Yeah, definitely had those days.
It will be absolutely terrible. And you'll be like, what am I doing? Do I even know what I'm doing? Was this a good decision? Am I crazy? Just keep sticking to it. It will all work out in the end.
Oh my God. And it's so worth it, right? Because I definitely am having those moments right now that like, it's like 1 a.m. and I wake up to go to the bathroom or something. And I'm like, oh my God. What am I doing? Like,
100%, that will happen all the time. I did not sleep for it. Every time we start to do a raise and I'm starting to do our financial analysis and I'm doing the design and my brain just starts working on overdrive. I keep a notebook next to my bed. And before I go to sleep, I write out every single thing that I'm thinking about that I have to do so that my brain can be like, okay, you have it all down. You don't have to remember this. There's nothing you can do right now. Go to sleep in the morning. Your notebook will be there. And you're right. Sometimes it happens at 4 a.m. I'll wake up and be like, oh my God, I forgot to measure the awning length. Write it in my notebook. And then it's the only thing that makes my brain stop functioning. So that's been a huge help for me.
Oh my God, that's awesome. What is the ultimate goal and vision with this? Let's just say with this endeavor. Otherwise, we could probably go forever.
Yeah. Well, with Sugar Taco, the goal has always been to do multiple locations. So right now we're focusing on Southern California because obviously that's where I live. That's where, you know, our expertise is. We do have a lot of people reaching out about franchising in other countries and other states. So that's something that we're looking into as well. We're getting into a little bit of food retail with our plant-based meats and our plant-based queso, which is like our nacho cheese and our hot sauce, because we do make everything in-house. So we just want to keep growing and expanding and, you know, keep getting new, amazing, you know, women involved in the project and basically building an empire of, you know, tacos and food and plant-based and love and trying to, you know, save the planet a little bit at a time with the type of food that we're serving and the type of business that we're running, and just keep going till every city has a sugar taco.
Oh my God. I literally love this, because it's not only that you started with the vision of something that you love and to, you know, bring women in and have it be something that's fun and something, you know, that is, like you said, supports the planet or is better for people, whatever that looks like. But one of my favorite parts is that you are truly like, you're not, you will not, all of you will not even see the ripple of what you've done by, you know, taking risks, kind of quote unquote, by bringing new investors in and women and teaching and educating. Like, this is opening up an entire world for people of possibilities. And that it can be done in a completely different way. Like, it's going to be such a massive shift. The more things that you all touch and the more people, the more that's going to ripple out. So that is like one of the most exciting things, because I know that this was not like this type of, you know, ideas and business and being so supported was not on my radar in a lot of my visions, even 10 years ago, because it wasn't a conversation like we had talked about, like being had. So I think that you are completely doing an entirely different business and education system that is like, you know, not even on the, people just see sugar taco, but you're doing this crazy internal world-changing thing, which it is, which is so cool.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we try, you know, we try to grow and be better, and we're still learning, you know, as we go, and still trying to, you know, give back as much as we can. And I'm hoping that, you know, it makes a difference in all of our investors' lives, and, you know, even the people that they know then starting to talk about it, and it just, you know, becoming a more common conversation of women investors.
Yes. Well, girl, I'm going to be having a bunch of summits on like teaching about investing, and I'm bringing in experts, so I'll have to bring you on.
I would love to.
That would be amazing. They would love you. So with that said, what can we do for you? Like, how can we either find you, follow you? What's the best thing that we could go and either buy, consume, eat, share?
Well, of course, go to Sugar Taco if you're in Los Angeles. We're on Melrose Boulevard. Our website and our Instagram and our Facebook, everything is just Sugar Taco, sugartaco.com. You can order online. We're on Postmates. We're on Grubhub. My personal Instagram is Jade Nicole, JadeNicole. And yeah, that's about it.
So can we look for your, did you say that there's actual, you're doing a food line as well in the future?
Yeah. So currently, you can actually buy our hot sauces at our current location to take home with you, our pineapple habanero hot sauces. You can also get, larges of our meat and our queso at our current location. And you can order it on online and on Postmates. We are working on getting them into grocery stores as well. That's kind of a next step for us.
Okay. So exciting. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was so much fun.
Thank you for having me.
All right, you guys. And if you loved this episode as much as I did, you know that the best thing that you could possibly do to let Jade know how much you appreciate her is to tag her, tag Sugar Taco, and let us know what your biggest takeaway was. Like, what was your aha moment? What was it for you that shifted? What just became a possibility for you? We want to see you and hear who's listening. So you guys, until next time, earn your happy. Bye, everyone. Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.